Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevomis Daf Tzavi Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Take note that today's shiur, though it's scheduled as Daf Tzadi Dalet, we're going to be beginning at the very bottom of Tzadi Dalet Omid Aleph, three lines from the bottom at the new Mishnah. Mi shaholcha ishto l'medina sayam. A man whose wife went abroad, and then he was informed that his wife died. Upon hearing that his wife died, he then married his wife's sister. Prior to that, when his wife is alive, so he's prohibited marrying her sister, but now that she's dead, he went and married his sister. And then, lo and behold, the wife appears. Well, with the appearance of the wife, she's not dead. So the man's marriage to her sister is a forbidden relationship. Muteres lachzor lo. The wife, the original wife, is allowed to go back to her husband. We take a look at Rashi. Muteres lachzor lo. Dekidushe shnia. The marriage to the second woman, to the sister, einon klum. It's of no significance. Barehi kiznus, it's simply like an act of harlotry. The Omar beGemara, oisa shchivasa osarta. Only if a wife happens to cohabit with someone with whom she is forbidden, then that prohibits her from going back to her husband. The ain shchivas achos osarta. However, the fact that her husband cohabited with her sister, that does not aser, that doesn't prohibit the wife from being with her husband. After all, she didn't do anything. She simply went abroad. She didn't have any intimacy. So the fact that she wasn't involved in intimacy, she's allowed to go back to her husband. We continue in the Gemara. We're at the top of Omid Beis. The Mishnah having said that in this case, the wife is allowed to go back to her husband. We said, Muteres lachzor lo, umuter bekrovos shnia. This husband is viewed as having, even though there was physical intimacy with the sister, but halachically speaking, there was nothing, there was no bonding whatsoever. So as a result of that, this man is allowed to marry her daughter. In fact, be his wife's niece. He can marry the daughter, knows the daughter of the woman that he had cohabited with. Ushnia and the wife's sister, Muteres Bekrovov. As we said, halachically, no bonding had taken place, so she can marry his relatives. She can marry his brother. V'im Mesa Rishona, and if the wife, the actual wife dies, Muter Bishnia, the man can marry her. Omrulo Mesa Ishto, Venosa Zachosa. A man was told that his wife died and he went and married her sister. V'acharkach omrulo, and then he was informed, kayemes hoiso mesa, she was alive, your wife was alive at the time that you married her sister, but has subsequently died. Havlad rishon mamzer v'achron ein mamzer. The child that was born when the wife was still alive, so the child that this man had with his wife's sister is a mamzer, is illegitimate. However, the child that he had with his wife's sister after the wife died, that child is kosher. Rabbi Yossi Oimer. Now, Rabbi Yossi presents a formula that we'll have to wait quite a bit later to see what it means. But we'll read the formula. Rashi tells you that it will be explained later in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol shepoisel al yedei acherim, poisel al yedei atzmo. The kol she'ein posel al yedei acherim, Eino posel al yedei atzmo. The Gemara continues now with a point, and the point lasts a couple of lines. The afal gav, the ozil ishto, the giso, lemedina sayam. We spoke about a man receiving word that his wife died. He went and married her sister. We didn't tell you before that that sister happened to be married to a, the term used in the words giso, giso is a brother-in-law, it's one's brother-in-law. The original information that was given to this man was that your wife and your brother-in-law died. Well, upon hearing that, he then went and married his wife's sister. His wife's sister, according to that information, is free to for him to marry. So that even though in the story that we read, in the Mishnah, the man's wife and his brother-in-law had gone abroad, De'ahani hani nisuim de'komitzura eshes giso agiso, as a result of what took place, the man who took his wife's sister, the result of that is that when they show up, when it turns out that they're still alive, the wife's sister is now going to be forbidden to her husband. That's an example of a married woman having had intimacy with someone else. We know she becomes usher to her husband. So that even though as a result of what took place here, of the man marrying his wife's sister, she, the wife's sister, becomes usher to her husband, afilu hachi, eshes giso asiro, ishto sharya. The eshes giso, the wife of his brother-in-law, which is in effect his wife's sister, she becomes also to her husband. His own wife is muteris. V'lo amrinon, and we don't say the following. Mitoch shenesra eshes giso agiso, since the wife of his brother-in-law became usher on the brother-in-law, on her husband, te'aser ishto alav, that your wife should become usher on you. We don't say that. The Gemara now asks a question. This question lasts a few lines. Lemo masnisin deloy kerebi Akiva. Shall we conclude that our Mishnah is not like Rebbe Akiva? Now, our Mishnah said that one's wife is allowed to go back to return to her husband. After all, as we said, she didn't do anything wrong. The husband simply cohabited with her sister. And the Mishnah says that the man can take back his wife. The husband that stayed here, didn't go abroad, he can take back his wife. Well, our Mishnah would come out not like Rebbe Akiva. Why? Dehi Rebbe Akiva. If it were Rebbe Akiva, the man would not be able to take back his wife. And why not? Havyalo, his own wife is achos grushoso. His own wife is actually the sister of a woman that had to be divorced, that he divorced. The fellow that married his wife's sister, we're going to see, according to Rabbi Akiva, he basically has to, when the wife shows up, he has to divorce her, he has to give her a get. So if the wife's sister receives a get, that's grushoso. What's one's own wife? The sister of the person that he divorced. And a person is not allowed to live with the sister of a woman that one divorced. Desanya. The Brisa tells us, Kol Arayas Shomru, all forbidden relations, Ein Srichus Himenu Gerefa, if a man marries a woman forbidden to him, man marries his sister, his mother, there's no need for a divorce document when they split up. Chutz me'eshes ish shenises al pi beizdin, with the exception of one kind of arayas, the the issue of a married woman in an adulterous relationship, the case where a woman was informed that her husband died, and as a result of one witness's testimony and based and said, you can go ahead and marry. So in that case, if she marries a second man and the husband shows up, so the outsider who married her must give her a get, a divorce document, and we've explained the reason for that in the past. Rabbi Kiva Moisif af Eishes ach v'achos ish, and Rabbi Kiva adds these two other cases. Let's just focus on what we dashed underline. The case of Achos Isha, the situation that we described, where a man heard that his wife had died, he went and married her sister. When the wife comes back, so the husband has to give the wife's sister a divorce document. The cave of Yom Rabbi Akiva Bayoget, and since Rabbi Akiva says that the wife's sister needs a divorce document, Memela Itzra Ale, his own wife then becomes forbidden to her husband. The Havyala, the man's wife now is Achois Grushoso. The man's own wife is in effect the sister of the woman that he divorced. So with that having been said, our Mishnah said that the man's wife that came back is allowed to rejoin her husband. According to Rabbi Kiva, she would not be allowed to rejoin her husband because she has this new status of being Achois Grushoso, the sister of the woman that her husband divorced. The Gemara now responds, and notice this is a long response because we started off this section with a question. Shall we say that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Akiva? We're going to answer, not so. Our Mishnah could very well be like Rabbi Akiva. V'lav itmar alah, Omar of Gidol, Omar of Chiyo bar Yosef, Omar Rav. Has it not in fact been taught by Rav? Now, we're going to focus on the two examples that were cited in the source, and the diamonds highlight those two examples. Hai Eishes Ach, the case of Eishes Ach that Rabbi Kiva says needs a divorce. Hechi Domi, what took place over there? Kegoyim, Shekidesh Ochiv Es Ha'isha. A man's brother had betrothed a woman. That means he offered money in anticipation of in exchange for her marrying him. But it's not a consummation of the marriage. It's the first stage of the marriage. It's called Kiddushin. He gave her money in marriage. V'holach l'medina sayam. And the brother went abroad. V'shomar shemeis ochiv. And the fellow heard that his brother died. V'omad v'nosa es ishto. He then went married. He married the wife, the woman that his brother had been mekadesh. And then, of course, the brother comes back. The opinion of Rabbi Kiva is that the fellow who married his brother's wife has to give her a get. Why does he have to give her a get? After all, the brother came back. It's the brother's wife. There's no tefisas kiddushin between a brother brother and a sister-in-law. So why does he have to give her a get? The Amri Inshi, in the minds of people, they think hach kamo tanohava le bekiddushin. The brother who eventually went abroad, the brother had done kiddushin, betrothed her with a condition. And the condition was never met. And hence, the marriage to the fellow that remained behind, the fellow that married his wife's brother, that was the formal marriage. That was a real marriage. V'hai, Shapir Nosiv, and the second fellow was married properly to her. And therefore, since that's how the public views their relationship, is actually a real marriage, The fact that the first husband came back doesn't show them anything, because they're saying that his marriage with hers was conditional and the conditions were never met, so they were never really married. Therefore, it's important for this man to give his brother's wife a get. If not for that, people will think that married women can leave matrimony without a divorce document. Continuing. V'hai achos isha nami. The case of a man marrying his wife's sister. What were the circumstances? Kagon shekidesh es isha. Again, we've dashed under on kiddush. A very important point. We're talking about a man had betrothed a woman. V'hocha medina sam. And that woman went abroad. V'shama shemesa. And the husband, who had not consummated his marriage with her, he had simply... he was simply done kiddushin with her. I mean, he heard she died. Omad v'nosa esachosa. He then went and married her sister. And then the wife comes back. We say that this man must give the wife's sister a get. And that's the case Rabbi Akiva is talking about. That kiddushin had taken place. The wife went abroad. Man heard that the wife was dead, married her sister. And then the wife comes back. The Amri Inshi, people figure, Hach komaisa tanai, tanai hava le bikidushel. The marriage to the original woman was a conditional marriage. And the conditions were never met. V'hai shapir nosiv, and the marriage between the man and her sister, that was a formal marriage. And if she is going to leave without a get, people think that people can exit matrimony without a divorce document. Ela nisuin. But the case where not only was there kiddushin, but it was a consummation of the marriage, like the case in our Mishnah, where was there a consummation of the marriage? The man's wife. Remember, in our Mishnah, we had a man whose wife went abroad. And he then married her sister, and the wife came back. That wife that went abroad, that was a woman with whom the husband had consummated the marriage. Mi iko lemeimar tno havale benisuin. Would people say that people that men cohabit with their wives based on a condition? People don't do that. If a person might enter the first stage of the marriage with a reliant upon a condition, but if he consummates the marriage, he does so with full intention, and that is not done with conditions in mind. So the logic that we saw before that necessitated the achos isha to receive a get doesn't apply over here, since the logic of giving the achos isha get doesn't apply. She's not going to get a get. Therefore, the wife's sister isn't going to receive a get, and one's own wife, therefore, is not the sister of his grusha. And the Mishnah, therefore, can be like Rabbi Akiva, because our Mishnah is dealing with a case where one's wife is not going to be termed achos grusha, so the sister of the woman he divorced, because in that case there would be no need for divorcing the wife's sister. The Gemara raises a question. It takes a number of lines to develop. E Rabbi Akiva, if, as you're claiming now, that our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva, Lisni Nami Chamoso, you could have given another example, an example involving mother-in-law. Man is told that his wife died, and he went ahead and married his mother-in-law. And then the wife comes back, etc., and so forth. Why not feature a case like that? Now, in order to feature a case like that, you'd have to be speaking about a situation where a man where there exists a possibility of a man marrying his mother-in-law. Of course, when a man is married, one's mother-in-law is strictly forbidden. Very, very severe penalty involved in man cohabiting with one's mother-in-law. What about a case where one's wife died? Is he allowed to marry his mother-in-law? Well, according to Rabbi Akiva, it seems at first glance that, yeah, he could marry his mother-in-law. Now, if that's the case, so why wasn't this example featured? Man was told, wife, your wife died. And he went ahead and married the mother-in-law, and then the wife shows up. And we continue in the Gemara, Dehoshamina le Rebbe Akiva diyamar chamosu liachar misolav bisreifa. We have heard Rebbe Akiva to rule that a mother-in-law, after one's wife's death, is not punished by the death penalty of Sreifa, which would have been the punishment had a man married his mother or cohabited with his mother-in-law while his wife is alive. So Rabbi Akiva says that one's mother-in-law after her death, after the wife's death, is not punishable by Sreifa. And the thinking is that means that a man would be allowed to marry his mother-in-law after one's wife died. We have a bracketed section. Skip it momentarily. Omar Lay, Rav Kahana answers. Nehi demiato kromi Sreifa. Granted that through the verses we see that a man being with his mother-in-law after his wife's death is not punishable by Sreifa. However, Meisura mi miato kra, does that mean that she's that there's no prohibition whatsoever? Not so. There still is a prohibition. She's prohibited, but not punishable by Sreifa. Therefore, he wouldn't marry his mother-in-law upon hearing the news of his wife's death. Now, we skipped a bracketed section. In the brackets, the Gemara gives you all the background for the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. And before we do the bracketed section, we take note of a Pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chof, Pasuk Yud Dalid. We've written it on the side. It says, V'ish asher yikach ish, V'ish asher yikach es isha, V'es ima, Zima hi, Bo'esh yisrufu, Oisoi v'es hen. We can read the pasuk literally, and it's going to lead to difficulty, though. It says, a man who takes a wife, v'es ima, and her mother. Zimohi, that's reprehensible, it's abhorrent. Bo'eshis refu, also, he is to be burnt, v'es hen, and they are to be burnt. Now, on a literal translation level, eshen means his wife and the mother-in-law. Why in the world would one's wife be subject to a death penalty simply because her husband happened to cohabit with her mother? So why does the pasuk say he is burnt and they are burnt? So, obviously, the pasuk cannot mean that. What does the pasuk mean? So we see in the bracketed section, Tisanya, Bo'esh yisrefu oisoi ve'eshen. The word eshen, true, in standard form, it means them, plural. But the hey nun suffix of that word in Greek means one. Like the word one sounds a lot like the hey nun sound, u or uno, indicating one. And based on this, Rabbi Shmuel says, Osoi v'es achas mehen, divrei Rabbi Shmuel. The man who cohabited with his mother-in-law, so he is burnt, and one of those women. Well, the one of those women is going to be he and the mother-in-law, not the wife. Rabbi Akiva oimer osoi v'es shtehen. Rabbi Akiva has a different take on the pasuk altogether. He says, when the Pasuk says a man who takes a woman and her mother, in reality, it's a man who is taking, who is cohabiting with his mother-in-law and her mother. Those are two women. And those two women, in fact, are prohibited to him. Bishlomo labaye domar mashmois dor sheniko binayu. According to Abaye, there is no question to be raised over here. Abaye says that the difference between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva is how you derive the information from the pasuk. In other words, there's no halachic machlokis between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel Savar Chadoksiv. Rabbi Shmuel holds that only one of the women are referred to in the Pasuk. And Rabbi Hiva Savar Tarti Ksiv. Both women are referred to in the Pasuk. In other words, according to Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, the issue concerns a man with his mother-in-law. The question is, does it include the mother-in-law and her mother as well, or not, as far as the verse is concerned? But one thing is important, extremely important to note, that according to Abaye, in his analysis of the Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, there is no discussion here concerning one's mother-in-law after one's wife died. According to Rava, who says that there is a machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva concerning the permissibility of one's mother-in-law after one's wife died, that's a point of difference. And according to Rava, Rabbi Kiva is telling us that one's mother-in-law after one's wife died is not punishable by Sreifa. So then, Lisni Nami Chamoso. According to Rava, and his understanding of Rabbi Akiva, our Mishnah should have taught the case of Chamoso, where a man is informed that his wife died and he then went ahead and married his mother-in-law. And then the wife resurfaced. Omar Le, so Rav Kahana answers, if you, Rav Ashi, are asking why isn't the case of mother-in-law featured, Nehi de miato krom ni strefa, granted that the Torah excludes her excludes her from the realm of capital punishment, from being subject to the Sreifa form of court execution. Meisura mi miato krah. Does the pasuk exclude her from prohibition altogether? No. The mother-in-law, after one's wife died, is still prohibited. So the Mishnah couldn't have taught a case of a man, upon hearing about his wife's death, went ahead and married his mother-in-law. Our mission is trying to feature cases where, based on the information that he heard, he went ahead and did what, in his eyes, was a legitimate marriage. Now the Gemara has a question that's not a continuation of what we just read, but a throwback to what we learned earlier. We said that a man's wife went abroad, and upon hearing information of her death, he went and married her sister. And the Mishnah said that when the wife comes back, she's muteris to her husband. So we want to challenge that. V'teoser b'shchiva d'achosa. Let one's own wife, in fact, become forbidden to her husband through the fact that the man cohabited with her sister. Midi d'have a'isha shaholach b'ilo l'medinas hayam. What do we say in a case where a man who went abroad and the wife went ahead and married another man through her marrying another man, and of course the husband resurfaces, she becomes usur not only to the other man but to her husband as well? Let's say the same thing over here, where when the wife resurfaces, she should become usur to her husband. Let us take a look at Rashi. Toward the very end, second to last line, Midi davi aish shach bailam nisayam, de mitzro lebailo, b'shchiva so acharon. The wife whose husband went abroad and heard that he was dead, she becomes also to her husband because of the cohabitation she had with the second fellow. V'afopi she shogeges, even though she did so unwittingly. V'amai kotoni masnisen muteres lachzor lo. Why does the Mishnah say that one's wife is allowed to return to him? After all, there was a prohibited cohabitation between the husband and her sister. The Gemara responds, Loi domi. The cases are not parallel. Ishto, the case of a woman who heard her husband went abroad and then cohabited with another man, albeit Bishogate. We say, Debemezid Asir Midoraisa, if she cohabited knowingly that her husband was still alive with another man, that's an Ashes Ishazin, so that's adultery. If she did so premeditated or knowing she was doing something wrong, she becomes forbidden to her husband Midoraisa, based on the Torah law itself. Bishogeg Gazru Borabonin, when that type of cohabitation is done unwittingly, so the rabbis moved in and prevent her from going back to her husband on a rabbinic level. Since it's a type of cohabitation that when you adjust the intention, you see a Doraisa level prohibition. So when the intention was lacking, when it was Bishogeg, so the woman becomes usher to her husband anyway, rabbinically. Continuing at the top of Tzadi Hei, Omer Aleph, Achois Isha. However, in the case of a man whose wife went abroad and he had relations with his wife's sister, Debemezid Loasira Midoraisa, if a man had relations with his wife's sister knowing that it's prohibited, the wife wouldn't become usher to her husband. Bishogeg lo gazu barabonon. So when it was done unwittingly, the rabbonon have no reason for imposing any restriction. Just to repeat that, because even in the worst case scenario, the wife will be allowed to her husband. So in this shogeg, this unwitting case where the man heard that his wife died, so the rabbis don't impose any restriction. The Gemara, as it continues, will seek out sources for this information. From where do we know that a man's wife does not become usser through her husband's cohabiting with her sister? But Mirza Shem, next time we'll pick that up. In the meantime, before we conclude, let us simply remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Mark and Morris, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.